Welcome to Bite Size Immunology. I'm your host, Dr. Rayan Najjar, a physician scientist in rheumatology. One of the major functions of the immune system is to protect us from infections. And one of the ways it does that is through its amazing ability to manufacture custom-made weapons against viruses or other microbes that infect our bodies. For this to work, first, we need a detection system that surveys our bodies for infection. Second, we need a way to analyze collected samples to test if they are normal materials made by our healthy cells or if they are viral components. Third, if a viral infection is detected, we need to deliver this information to the nearest lymph node, which is like a command center for the immune system. All this is done by one type of specialized immune cell, which is the subject of today's episode. Chapter 1, Surveillance. Our bodies are under constant threat of infection from viruses and bacteria all around us. If you know your enemies can attack at any time, you'd want to know if they have infiltrated and are about to cause damage. For this reason, the immune system has sentinels that are embedded all over the body in various tissues. These immune cells are called dendritic cells. The name comes from their finger-like or tree-like projections, because dendrite means tree in Greek. These cells specialize in gathering information. They sample their environment constantly, looking for foreign molecules from viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens. They are like radar workers, constantly looking for enemy activity. Dendritic cells are concentrated in areas where microbes enter the body, such as the skin, intestine, and lungs. In the lungs, dendritic cells pass their projections between the cells of the airway lining, stretching their arms through the lining to catch and sample microbial objects. Dendritic cells survey the spaces between cells and collect information. Coming in contact with microbes activates dendritic cells to surround the microbe with its membrane and internalize it. This is called phagocytosis, which is derived from the Greek word for eating. Phagocytosis is an active process involving specialized receptors and signaling pathways. There is an evolutionary arms race between our immune system and microbes, and some microbes developed ways to evade phagocytosis in order to go undetected. Therefore, dendritic cells have to find other ways to sample these microbes. A second method of collecting data is to be directly infected by a virus. It seems counterintuitive, but here being infected by the virus is a good thing, because then the dendritic cells can process the viral particles so the immune system can learn about the enemy. There is also a third method of collecting data, where dendritic cells engulf surrounding fluid to process whatever happens to be swimming in the fluid around them, including microbes, if any. Unlike phagocytosis, this is a passive process that does not require special receptors or signaling, so it's harder for microbes to evade this process. Next, the dendritic cells need to process the collected proteins. These proteins are broken down either in vesicles or in the proteasome, which is a cylindrical organelle in the cell that acts like an under-the-sink garbage disposal system, except the output is not waste. It contains valuable information. Proteins enter the proteasome and are chopped up into small pieces, which are displayed on the cell surface for other immune cells to see. Chapter 2, Friend or Foe. During the Cold War in 1983, Stanislav Petrov was in a military bunker south of Moscow. A satellite triggered warnings that multiple missiles were launched from the United States. Stanislav had to make one very important decision. Is this a real attack or a false alarm? Dendritic cells play the same role for the immune system. They have a prediction system to answer a question central to the job of the immune system. Are we under attack by a microbial infection? Just like in Stanislav's situation, there are disastrous consequences to getting this question wrong. Meaning, if the immune system activates when there is no infection, or if the immune system fails to activate when needed. So how do dendritic cells test for the presence of infection? The dendritic cell has multiple types of sensors that recognize molecular patterns present in viruses or bacteria that are not normally present in our cells. So their presence indicates an infection. These are called microbial-associated molecular patterns, while the sensors are called pattern recognition receptors. Each sensor specializes in detecting a specific type of microbial molecule. For example, some of them detect RNA molecules with double strands that are made during viral replication. Let's say the body is infected with a virus, and let's follow one dendritic cell that picks up the virus. A pattern recognition receptor will be activated by viral nucleic acids, informing the dendritic cell that there is an infection. Now the dendritic cell needs to switch from gathering information to enhanced processing of viral data and delivering this critical enemy intel to another immune cell called a T cell. The dendritic cell needs to ensure that peptides displayed on its surface match the viral peptides and not innocent peptides that were collected before infection. Peptides presented on the surface are constantly being circulated, so they are displayed for a period of time, then degraded, and new molecules are displayed. When the pattern recognition receptors are activated, these surface molecules are displayed for longer times, allowing the dendritic cell to travel to a lymph node still displaying the same viral peptides that activated them. Chapter 3, A Journey to the Lymph Node. The dendritic cell will start moving towards a nearby lymph node, but how does it know where to go, and why wasn't it moving in that direction before detecting an infection? The activation of pattern recognition receptors triggers changes in gene expression that make the dendritic cell stop gathering and processing new information. Activation also makes the dendritic cell express a protein called CCR7 on its surface that acts as a receptor that follows the scent of T cells and the lymph node. The scent comes from chemicals called chemokines. Kine is derived from the word for movement, and the process is called chemotaxis. So how does chemotaxis work? After activation, dendritic cells express CCR7. These receptors allow cells to move in the direction of higher concentration of a chemical. Imagine a cell swimming in fluid, where the chemokines have created a gradient with higher chemokine concentration approaching the source, which is the lymph node in this case. Let's say you enter a house and recognize the smell of freshly baked cake. You follow the smell to find the location of the cake, because the smell is stronger as you get closer to the source. Of course, in the example of cake, you are also using your other senses, such as sight. But in a similar way, the side of the cell surface facing the direction of the lymph node will interact with more chemokine molecules, compared to the opposite side that will have fewer such interactions. This tells the cell which direction to move in, and this process works on average to move cells in the right direction. The reason the dendritic cell was not moving towards the lymph node before activation is because the CCR7 surface receptors were not present and were only added after activation. Without the surface receptors, the chemokines have no effect on dendritic cells. Chapter 4, A Meeting of the Immune Cells. Once the dendritic cell makes it to the lymph node, it will interact with multiple T cells, looking for the one that recognizes the same viral molecule that the dendritic cell is presenting. When this happens, the dendritic cell must provide additional confirmation in the form of a second surface molecule called the co-stimulatory signal. This confirms to the T cell that the pattern recognition receptor was indeed triggered inside the dendritic cell, confirming the presence of an infection. This is one of the ways the immune system avoids false positive activation and lowers the chances of triggering an immune system attack against innocent peptides. That's to say, to avoid friendly fire. Once activated by the dendritic cell, the T cell now has everything it needs to take the war against the virus to the next phase. It will create an army of clones and direct the mass production of custom-made weapons against the virus. This has been Bite-Size Immunology.